To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan. The Fan Sports Network, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, YouTube. Good morning. Thank you for being with us. Hope you're commute in or you're hanging out, getting ready for your day. It's December 4th, the Thursday, as Christmas right around the corner.
It's almost here, man.
Like six people, I don't know what to get. I'm so stuck.
Running out of ideas already.
I was doing a good job throughout the year of like having a random like, that's a good idea, and logging it in a notes app.
That's smart right there.
But there were people that like I never went, oh, that's a good idea. So I know I'm stuck here on the 4th going, what do I do?
Well, Lucy Burge told us, just nice fancy jewelry, man. That's all you got to do. Keeps everybody happy.
Yeah. Coach handbag.
Yeah. Just simple. Simple.
No big deal.
Easy.
Tory Burch, maybe.
Maybe a Gucci gift card.
Red bottoms.
Very, very simple.
Red bottoms.
Simple stuff here, man. Don't outthink the room.
I'd prefer macaroni art, but who am I?
You know, hey, here's what I'll tell you on gift giving. Don't be an offensive coordinator trying to call a trick play in a rainstorm, all right? Let's just run the ball. Just run the ball. No need to get cute.
Don't up in the second half with Ty Thompson at quarterback.
Maybe be not a good idea.
Tush
with a reverse.
Push always gets you a first down.
Third and one, run the illegal play. Fall forward.
Does it anymore?
Just false start and you're fine.
Underrated conversation that hasn't happened in sports media. Tush push hasn't been as great the last couple of weeks as it.
They've dialed it back.
Well, also, like, the Bears did an exceptional job on it.
They did.
And teams are starting to get the ball away from Hurts in that scrum, and so it's like...
Should have been a fumble a couple weeks ago against the Giants, and they didn't call it.
We do have an elimination game, I believe, in the National Football League tonight, Thursday Night Football. You get the Lions.
Here we go!
Hosting that guy, Dak Prescott. A delightful Thursday Night Football game.
It's a really fun Thursday. I wish it wasn't a Thursday Night game, but it's a really fun Thursday Night game.
I mean, a lot of pucker factor. The Cowboys didn't open this game 7-0. Like, oh, no, here we go again, Lions. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Bill Orme will join us at 8:30 today. No Josh Pate if you're just getting in your car, turning us on today, or listening on the app. He has an ESPN obligation, so he is at New York on actual ESPN as we speak. So we will not get Josh Pate today. Tomorrow, Jamarcus Shepherd, the new Oregon State coach, is going to call us, I think, from Alabama or Atlanta.
Probably Atlanta, because he's back for the SEC title game. So I'd imagine they're in town in Atlanta tomorrow, the day before the game.
We'll talk with Jamarcus Shepherd, the new Oregon State coach, and then we'll see if we can get Josh. Is there any wiggle room for Pate on a Football Friday? It'd be awesome if we can get it.
Yeah,
a lot to get to in this hour. I have college football notes I want to get to. I thought somebody made an interesting point that still has me kind of thinking. Mm. And I know how you're going to react to it, but I don't think you're right. And I want to see if I can convince you you're not right on something you haven't even said yet.
What if I don't react that way? I could react a totally different way. Then throw the segment out the window.
My in-car conversation did not go accordingly.
The internal debate that you had with imaginary dirt didn't go the way you thought it would?
No, it didn't. Flipped on my head. So the Blazers win last night in Cleveland, and I want to get to that. I do. Very interesting. You called it. You said, I'm taking the Blazers. They got weird stuff. They're a weird team, as you've noted.
They make no sense, man.
They don't. They have those games, and then they're going to play the Pelicans and probably lose.
How this is going to go.
But they win last night. Denny Avdija continues to be Denny Avdija. 27-8-7. Nice game for Shaedon Sharpe as well. As he finished with 20 points. He was 7-18 from the field. Tamani Kamara. You know, Tamani is the three-point shots. It's coming along.
Quietly has gotten a lot better.
The last few games, he's gotten it together. He was 3 of 5 last night, 17 points, 6 boards. The Klinger, not so much, but he did damage on the glass. He had 13 total rebounds. Caleb Love with 20 points off the bench was great. Or 20 points. See, this is the ESPN box score stuff.
I know. It goes minutes and then points. It throws you off.
They each had 20.
They've effed it up. They effed Shaedon. Up their box scores.
I mean, yeah, they're just in the point now where they're so banged up that they're almost, I hate to say this, please laugh at me if you would like, they're almost only going as far as Caleb Love will take them. Like, you desperately need another score off. If he has a game where he goes 1-12, which he's going to happen, Splitter joking after the game was really funny about his confidence and he's never seen a shot he doesn't like, which we've all watched Caleb Love for a while. We know that about him. That's the way he was at North Carolina and Arizona.
He can go for 30, but can go 0 for 30.
Yeah. You're so shorthanded that if he has a game like that, you got to punch his chance because you're scoring off the bench. And if he doesn't make shots, exactly.
Sissoko, I thought, was really good. You know, the takeaway I have from this game is a couple things, because we talked about them yesterday. And I what I hate about the Blazer conversation, and I'm sometimes reacting to just three things, three people. I hate that if we have a non-like, the Blazers look amazing segment, we're instantly painted as negative guys. I thought we talked about some stuff that's interesting, like how many guys have been very productive for them this year.
Mm-hmm.
And how encouraging that feels, while also asking out loud, are they going to make a move, and should they just stand pat and assume that this is going to continue to progress? I came away with a weird conclusion yesterday, because we talk about players with growth, and Lamar, actually, I'd love to get Lamar on next week, Swag, if he's available. We haven't talked to Lamar in a long time. He said something that kind of got my brain moving yesterday on the broadcast, and he was talking about Shaedon, and how Shaedon was having more opportunities than he's even gotten. I think Habistro had the stat that he's 9th in usage rate in the NBA. Donovan Mitchell's 8th, right? So when he's out there, he's taking a huge chunk of your offense, man.
Yeah, he's getting opportunities.
And that's good. I want to see that, right? I want him to have those opportunities.
That was the whole point of getting Ann off the team, is just freeing up some of that for one of your young guys.
And I would say so far, it's been a good thing in that way. But Lamar had mentioned a moment in the second half, I think it was the third or fourth quarter, where he highlighted, like, Shaedon is recognizing. And so, like, what I would say is this is year four for Shaedon. The old adage in the NBA is that in year four, you are what you are. And we've all abided by that. We've been saying that. We said near Myers Leonard, because people were wondering, is Myers Leonard year seven going to be loading? And I'm like, no, he's Myers Leonard. What I would say, though, that he kind of made me rethink this is it's not about can you get better? I don't know how much better, realistically, from a stats standpoint, Denny can get, right? What I would say, though, is can you grow with efficiency? That's what I'm more viewing players as. Like, year four might be for people, Shaedon is who Shaedon is. What I would counter and say is maybe. But can he be more efficient? Can he understand more mental nuances of the game? And so the impact might not be from a physical standpoint. It's more so from he's understanding the game. You have to remember with Shaedon Sharpe, he grew up his whole life being the best player. He then goes to high school. What do you think the offense was at his high school? Shaedon, here's the ball. Good luck.
Yeah, go score.
And then he doesn't play in college.
No.
And then year two in the NBA, he gets hurt, plays 31 games. He seemingly is still learning the game of basketball. Yeah. And he's had to do it largely as a professional.
Is he 21 or 22?
He's 22.
Okay.
So, like, I just was thinking about that element, because Denny has been awesome.
Yeah.
Tumani's been good, and he's turned it on as of late. Jeremy's had a much better season so far than he had last year. And I think the growth of Shaedon mentally on that aspect of the game is where I'm most fascinated. I thought last night He played a good game. Denny was great. And I thought their ball movement was stellar.
Well, I mean, yeah. Look, they're a team that's going to pull off a win like that every now and then. And I joke about Caleb Love, but that's a big part of it. The other thing that helps is that Cleveland as a team went 13 of 52 from three, right? Like, you get that from your opponent, that's going to help you a little bit. And so those two things correlated into a Blazer win last night. On the Shaedon Sharpe point, I also think part of his learning process, he definitely needs to become more efficient, because there are some nights where you look at the volume of shots and the volume of points and you're like, well, yeah, you scored 28, but it was on 20-something shots. And it's not as efficient as you want him to be. I also think, and MJ was talking about this on Tuesday on his, you know, pre-recorded preseason Peacock hit.
Is it?
It's the same thing.
It's still the big interview with Tirico?
It was a varying of topics, but one of the things that I saw was him helping current players and the advice that he gives them. And one of the guys that he talked about was Anthony Edwards, and how Anthony Edwards has reached out to him about handling double teams. And when guys throw numbers at me, like, how did you handle that? And I'm basically at half court and two bodies are rushing at me. Where does the ball go? Where should I go? How should I move it? How aggressive should I be? And he's trying to help him learn that stuff. To your point on the usage rate of Shaedon Sharpe, those are the kind of things he's just going to have to learn. Like, he's getting different defensive looks now. He's getting more of a volume of run on offense where he's not just standing in the corner for 30% of the game. Yeah. And I think his game is going to evolve because of that. Now, how good can he become? If he's going to continue to shoot this way from three, I think there's a ceiling on the type of player that he can be. I don't think he's always going to be what is he shooting this year right now? 20-something percent it's, from three right now?
I think it's sub 30.
He was 2 of 5 last night. Yeah. That's not terrible, but it's sub 30 on the season. Yeah, 25% on the season from three. That's horrendous.
He's got to get it to 35.
You got to be 30, baseline 35.
He might not be able to. And I think that's the element I'm talking about, is like, maybe he...
That comes back to the efficiency and learning. Like, where is my strength and where can I take most advantage of the defense?
Getting to the free throw line. Getting to the free throw line, Dirt, I think would address...
Yeah,
like, he got 6 last night. That's not bad.
He's averaging a career high in free throws over 5. He's never been over 3 in his career so far.
But, I mean, look at Denny, right? Denny's bigger than him, so it's easier. But, like, Denny knows how to foul hunt, and Denny gets to the line. He had 17 free throws last night. If you want to know why they won because they shot more free throws, and Cleveland couldn't make a 3 to save their lives. It's that
34 of 39 from the line will win you almost every night in the NBA.
So what, a quarter 40, of your points?
So right will there. 41% from 3 while the other team shoots 25% from 3.
Exactly.
Like, that's really how it breaks down for them.
Yep.
It's a great win. I don't know where they go the rest of the road trip, but, like, it's a great win. And so there are just elements of this where you see it. And yesterday is an example. Who did they interview in the post game? I'm blanking.
It was Tua, I think, right? After the game?
Tua, because
the kid went back to Ohio, Dayton guy. I thought he was asked about something effective, like how they played that night, like finding guys. And he just said, trust the process, right? And basketball now, it's pace and space. So, like, we know they've increased their pace from where they have been in years past, but also, like, just finding each other and trusting one another. I think a lot of coaches tell their teams this, and no matter what level of, like, giving it up and knowing you're open and just not being afraid to shoot because you're worried about being a ball hog, or when you get the open looks, fire away, man. Like, that's what basketball is now, and last night they did an exceptional job of it.
They only had 11 turnovers, and playing that fast as they want to, you can live with that. The thing for me, and I hadn't seen the Blazers play a lot late because I had a lot of pilots and other stuff going on in the holidays, so really sat down, watched that thing from start to finish. And my thought taking away was, wow, maybe Denny Avdija can be the point guard on a playoff competitive team. Maybe he can be the one, and it makes things easier at the point for who's ever going to be making those decisions, whether it's this season or next season.
Well, he has been remarkable.
Averaging 26-7-6.
He's still a little...
I mean, you're talking about he's on pace for one of the greatest seasons in the history of your franchise.
He's still a little loose with the handle at times, and that he needs to continue to be better.
But the point
better.
Guard isn't John Stockton anymore, right?
The game has evolved.
Yeah, it's such a different
game. But at his height and his pace, now... This is blasphemous to some people, and he has the mentality of the game.
Do it.
Oh, here we go.
Do it.
But
do
he,
it.
The way when he can get it, rip it, the rebound, and go, magic.
Yes.
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 We
that's
Magic Johnson. We
that's
Magic
who
Johnson.
He reminds me of when he's out there at 6'8", barreling down. He's not afraid of contact.
Hell,
he'll go through you. If you don't stop the ball, he will go all the way to the rim. He's getting better with looking off and finding shooters or leaving it behind him, those sorts of things. He will get to the foul line a ton. He's a better three-point shooter than Magic ever was, but that's a different day and a different game.
Well, and the other thing that helps him is surrounding him with more shooters, too.
Exactly. Because
of his, like, there's just not a lot of guys that
did as they went on. Byron Scott would be, you know, lining up in the quarter.
Yeah.
So, like I said, he's not it's blasphemous.
Like
yes.
I said, he's Magic Johnson. But don't take what I'm saying. But like I said,
I mean, we're legitimately encroaching on one of the best seasons in Blazer history.
It's 26. Phenomenal.
I mean, I'm sure there's like a cleaning the glass or a stat muse you can find how many Blazers in the history of the franchise have averaged north of 25.7 rebounds and 6 assists in a season.
I think it's only Clyde that's had a 25-5 season. I don't know if Dame ever got to...
Marcus never got to the 6 part.
No.
I don't
Dame
know.
Would have Dame, had the assist part, but not the rebound part.
Did he have the
part.
Rebounds? Did he ever average over 5 a season?
He had some years where he was like 29-7 or 29-6, but the rebounds are probably 4.
I don't know if Dame and Stoudemire ever had a
I'll
year.
I'll look it up.
He
no,
was a pretty good
so.
Rebounder for being a little guy, but I don't know if
how
he
many
ever
years
averaged...
did he average north of 25 points per game, though? I don't know if he ever did, because that was more of a balanced scoring era of the Blazers, where they didn't really have one go-to guy.
You know what's crazy is, like, I just started with the oldest example, Bill Walton never even averaged 20 here.
No. Well, he's probably 18, 19 a game.
He didn't
like
have
18, 19 rebounds and 5
there
assists.
There weren't threes when he started.
No, I know. I get that part of it. But
but that to the point, like, the Magic Johnson stuff, we can chuckle at. He's legitimately playing that well. He's their driving force night in and night out, and he is.
But it's more just his size and his presence.
Yeah, I mean, to be a 6'8 guy that can play that way, it's unique. There's not a lot of guys like that that exist in the NBA. The reality that they're in right now is, I think there's micro reactions that we'll have game in and game out, right? You lose a bad game and it's like, oh, that was what the hell happened there? And
sure.
This probably will happen on the road trip. And then you beat a Cleveland team and it's like, hey, look at that. And then you go back up and then you go back down. The realities that exist for them in the grand scheme of things is, one, there's just not a lot of movement that they're going to make until they get healthy. And I don't know when they will get healthy and how long that will take them. When's Scoot coming back? When's Blake Wesley coming back? What's the latest on Matisse Thybulle? Like, you're just not going to be a consistent basketball team when you're, again, relying on Caleb Love to score 20 off the bench. And some nights he'll do it, and a lot of nights he won't. And so it's just hard to break through when that's your reality. But the good positive in the overarching angle of this entire season is what we've highlighted all year, and that's that the bottom of the West sucks. So you're not really going to get left behind. If this is the kind of basketball you play for the next 2 months and you're just hovering a couple of games below 500, you're going to be in the mix for a play-in spot. And I think that was at least the base level goal coming into the year, that there's nobody in that 8, 9, 10, 11 range is going to run away with anything in the West this year.
So Clyde in 87-88 gave you 27-6-6.
Okay.
The next year, 88-89, 27-6, and I'm rounding up, 5-8,
yeah,
and 8. And that's it.
That's all we got?
It's basically, in 91-92, he was 25-6-6.
Okay, so he did it a couple of times.
He did it a couple times, so yeah, and Dame
never averaged Dame over never those 5 rebounds a
no,
game.
No,
he had years where he was 30 points and 8 assists, or 30 points and 7.5 assists. So he did 2 of the categories. But
is Denny R. Cal Raleigh? He's just going to emerge as one of the, like, the third greatest players.
I mean, look, for all the criticisms that I've had of Joe Cronin, and I think he's done a handful of things not well, to put it politely.
By far his best move.
It's not even close. Like, this is he hit a grand slam to Bub Carrington. I don't even know what he's doing for the Wizards. I just know they're terrible. Like, that was, and Brogdon retired, didn't he? Isn't he out of the league? So that was a grand slam of a trade for Cronin.
I want to ask you guys this. It's easy to have this conversation off of a win at a place like Cleveland. Did we see this player play his final game? And I just want to throw something out that's interesting. Like, back to what we said yesterday, should they be aggressive and should they try to do something that would really move a needle? We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes. stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, talk about burying the lead. We have buried the lead on something, and I think we've done a good job burying it, but it's not been easy behind the scenes here on the show this morning for somebody. And I'll tell you who that is coming up at the bottom of the hour. But if you're just tuning in, there's the Blazers' winning song as they win in Cleveland yesterday. We were talking about the Blazers and what they did well yesterday. And
put some money on them on the money line in games that don't make sense. That's the lesson I've learned so far. Denver made no sense. OKC, still the only team to beat them. And now Cleveland last night. There's probably another one in there that I'm forgetting. That just like, how did they? Okay, second of a back-to-back. Cleveland played everybody, right? Did they sit anybody out last night?
Yeah, I think they played everybody. I thought Garland came off the everybody bench. Mobley played. Mitchell played.
When three of your guys weren't in there, and they led the entire game. Great first quarter. They were in charge the entire game.
It was a great game. We are 21 days away from you and 68% of this city caring about the NBA being starting.
Well, what happens in 21 days, though? Are the Ducks still playing? Because if they win, then it might get kicked back another week.
It goes 2026.
Then it'll be like January 2nd. And then if they win that game, then maybe we'll kick it back to like January 10th.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to wait and see how that plays
Ducks
out.
Ducks lose on January 6th.
Yeah.
Don't want that to happen.
No.
It happens on January 6th.
No. We don't want to be connected to that history.
All right. Well, so we talked about this on the group chat.
Yes, we did.
And it's one of those like, this is never going to happen because Portland doesn't get nice things, but I wish it would. Has Giannis Antetokounmpo played his last game as a Buck?
I'm really curious to see what the reaction to his injury is going to be because it's a calf strain.
They've already ruled out. There's no Achilles. It's legitimately...
Sure, 100% positive?
Yeah, 100%.
Are they just saying that because they want to trade him and they don't want him to have an Achilles injury? And follow-up to that, how many times does a calf injury lead to an Achilles injury?
Well, it does, but also McCaffrey had that going into the season. He hasn't popped his Achilles, knock on wood, yet.
Knock on wood.
And just because it has happened doesn't mean it happens every time. And I think we're seeing teams and sports be way more cautious with calf injuries.
Okay, I just know this is a trend right now in the league where a lot of guys are going down with calf strains right now.
And then Halliburton's pop last year in the Game 7, I think, has cautioned everybody. Like, isn't that why Drew's out, calf injury?
I believe so.
I would legitimately ask when we're going to see Drew Holiday again because, again, they don't want to put that in jeopardy.
Yes.
So why I ask that question is a report comes out yesterday from Shams that Giannis and his reps want to talk about the future and the partnership, which is, I think, code in vague for should we get traded.
It's the most polite way humanly possible to demand a trade.
He's becoming Dame in Milwaukee.
Yes.
He doesn't want to demand a trade, but he does, but he doesn't, but he will, and he doesn't want to be a villain for it.
And this is the way you do it to not become a villain. You don't say, get me the hell out of here. You say, let's explore options.
Yeah, but then you still get Sam Tongues that are like, you know, he asked out of here. And I'm like, we're not reading the room here. Clearly the team was pushing him that way. Anyways, I digress. I think because he's got the calf injury, he's not going to put himself in jeopardy.
Probably not.
and the deadline's not that far away. So that's why I'm asking. Have we seen the last game of Giannis in a Buck uniform?
It'd be weird to see it end the way that it did last night because it was so nondescript. I think he either made a shot or somebody made a shot, and he's just running back the other end, takes two steps. He's basically underneath the other hoop and just goes down to the ground, slams the floor a couple times. And your head goes to the worst spot possible because yesterday the news did break that he's exploring his future. And then that happens, and you're like, oh, my God, the day that he's contemplating finally demanding a trade out of Milwaukee, he just ruptures Achilles. But according to what you're saying, he didn't, and that's a good sign. I would venture to guess, yes, he has played his last game in a Bucks uniform because I think they're in the spot now where he's going to miss some time. So that's going to essentially tank their season, right? I don't know how they are this year without him.
They won last night despite him leaving in the first quarter.
And so maybe they surprise and they find a way to win a couple of games without him. I don't expect that's going to continue because he's such a good player. And if that's the case, I think Milwaukee will have to have a moment where they look in the mirror and realize, one, the season's not going anywhere. But two, now is the time, and you don't want to risk further injury if you are going to make a trade to that level of bringing him back, and then, God forbid, something does happen to his Achilles, and then all of that gets kicked down the road for another year because nobody's going to trade for him at that point. So I would venture to guess he has, and I would ask if we're not. I know that we don't get nice things, but I guess my ultimate message to the organization, and I know there's a lot up in the air with the sale and all that, is what are we waiting for?
Like, well, had they had a directive to not do anything and let the guy come in and evaluate, I think would be the natural response.
I don't think Tom Dundon needs to evaluate Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, we're not talking about a fringe trade here. We're talking about one of the bona fide best players in the league.
So you want Portland to go after him.
Why would you not want Portland to go after him? Hey, you want your picks back? We got young players who are lottery picks who are developing. We got future picks. And, oh, by the way, we got two massive salaries that can make this work financially. Because Jeremy Grant's making a lot of money and Drew Holiday's making a lot of money.
Well, and Jeremy's an expiring, so I think that would be the interesting part for them is they wouldn't have a long-term commitment. I don't know about Drew. I ran the trade machine last night when I was texting you guys because I saw the report and then I watched the game and I'm like having these unnecessary visions in my brain of Denny, Giannis,
two,
Shaden,
Dame.
Dame, yeah, sure. And I'm just like,
why not? What
Jeremy,
are we waiting for?
Scoot, Klingon, four firsts, go.
Make
and
the call.
I started thinking, like, how many teams would be jumping in this? If it's Giannis, a lot, right? But, like, how many teams can beat that kind of offer? Because four first is not nothing.
No.
And then you'd get the promise of Scoot.
And they know they're going to suck, and you're giving them their first-round picks back. Those are going to be good picks.
Right. But then I did come up with a team that could probably beat you.
Who can beat us?
The Spurs.
Yeah, probably.
Here's Dylan Harper, because De'Aaron Fox is an MFing beast, and they just signed into a four-year extension. So, yeah, it sucks to lose Harper because they just drafted him. Here's Dylan Harper. Here's Devin Vassell. There's the money. Swag thinks they'd have to include Castle. I think they could find a way to not and then give them draft capital because I think they still have picks from the Pelicans or the Hawks for DeJounte Murray stuff.
Those
I can't
are good
remember
picks.
Who it is. But
those are good picks.
They've got picks.
I'd say our picks are better because Milwaukee knows their own future is going to suck. So we can give them their
but they've got
top
Dylan
10
Harper.
Picks back. Yeah, and
he's
that would
more
help them
unknown
a little bit.
Than Scoot has been.
I just like... The reality of the NBA is, and this is something I've argued for years now, and it's why I was pro-tank, but they're unfortunately 0 for 4 in this category. Yeah, I mean, until you have a number one, you're not going anywhere on a big scale in the NBA. And maybe this is offensive to Denny Avdia, because we just highlighted he's doing something that very few Blazers in the history of this organization have ever done. So maybe he is a number one.
Mm.
But the reality is, until you find that true superstar, there's just... What are you, a second-round team, play-in team, first-round team?
I mean, like, you might be a second-round team with Giannis. Like, there's no guarantees.
There's no guarantees, but I can tell you there's a guarantee without Giannis of how far you're going to go. I know that answer. There's a limit on how far your team could go. The whole idea of trading Dame and getting the picks and going what you've gone through is to compile assets in order to do something. And I guess my larger question is, how long do we wait until we do something?
That's a mighty something there, Andrew.
It would be a great something.
I'd love to see Joe pick up the call and say, hey, we've been friends. We've done business, which is how the league does operate.
Yes.
What do we think about? You took our guy. What if we take your guy? We'll treat him well. You treated our guy well. What if we give some of what you want back? And
here's your first round picks back. We'll throw in a couple of our young players. Here's an expiring massive contract that'll come off your books after the year. There you go.
More likely for us to make that phone call or just sign Chris Paul and roll it the rest of the year.
Hey, we got some guard help.
Yeah.
Take a swing. What happened to going so all in? It was going to hurt. I want to hurt, Joe.
I want to hurt so bad,
Hurt
Joe.
Me, Joe.
Joe, hurt us.
Hurt me.
Make me hurt. my wife, why can't you perform? I've been hurt by Joe Cronin.
He keeps hurting me.
He's just hurting us.
It's painful.
Please, Joe Cronin, hurt us. All right. This has been delayed long enough. I can't believe we've gotten through an hour and a half of the show because something has been happening in sports, and it's remarkable my co-host has performed it all. I'll tell you what it is. All right, welcome back in. A Magic Hat Thursday. Get to that in the 9 a.m. hour. I got some juicy little Magic Hat things for you.
Okay.
Bill Oram will join us at 8:30. He wants to defend his Christmas tree that we've publicly posted. Dirt has called it out.
I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one calling it out anymore. Now that it is public knowledge, this is a community noted thing, not just a Dirt thing.
I'd like to ask him how many times he had to take the photo, because he sent me the photo and it's one of those lives, like when you hold it down, it's actually like it's a motion photo.
Yeah.
And he has like kind of an expression like, again, fine. As if like his first two photos weren't good enough.
The wife told him his eyes were closed. Got to take another one. Fine.
My family, every time we take a big photo, we'll take at least four. I literally get to where I'm going to stand. And I just smile and I don't stop because I know they're just going to do it again. So I just do that and I just keep my smile the same way
just
the whole
time.
Don't move.
Don't move. Don't change the expression.
It's 7:39. Pretty remarkable we're able to get this far into the show.
We're almost halfway done.
We are. Because my co-host being able to rattle off takes on aging and Blazers and Joe Cronin trades and anything, it's a phenomenal job. Some would say maybe the best job he's ever done here at The Fan. Because if you don't know and you don't follow, Chris Henry Jr. is the best receiver in the recruiting class.
He is.
And yesterday, Dirt's Oregon Ducks stayed at number 2 in the recruiting rankings, according to 24/7 Sports. And Chris Henry Jr., who was all but a lock to go to Ohio State because of Brian Hartline,
been committed a very long time,
has not signed a commitment yet. And Hartline went to South Florida. And now, according to the report by Steve Wilfong, he doesn't know what to do because he loved Hartline. He's a very loyal dude.
Come on home, Chris.
His relationship with Dan Lanning is stellar, according to Wilfong.
And he's not going to go to South Florida.
And Texas is coming in the 11th hour with, hey, here's the kind of money that nobody has offered you yet.
Here's $3 million. You want to come play in Austin?
So here's a fun fact. Due to Chris Henry Sr. RIP, his legal guardian is Pac-Man Jones. And so right now, he's looking to Pac-Man Jones for his guidance on where to go to college. And I don't know if that's good or bad for you, but right now it's USC, Ohio State, Oregon, and potentially Texas, according to Steve Wilfong, for Chris Henry Jr.
It was also funny yesterday. Chad Johnson sent out a tweet, said, wherever you go, nephew, I'm going to come be the wide receiver coach, which would... I know. I don't want to make this any more painful for you. You guys had a great day yesterday. Things are going swimmingly.
We've literally been begging
but
that guy.
I saw that
for
yesterday and I'm like,
Twitter.
That would be uncomfortable.
Just come and visit us.
Him standing
one time
on the sideline wearing green and yellow would be a little weird, but I get the relationship there. And I think a lot of those people have filled in his life after the tragic passing of his dad. This one, it goes back to communication and relationships, which is what was so surprising about yesterday. The intel and the reporting was, I mean, he's been committed to Ohio State for a long time. He was a big fish. Oregon has been after him forever, for months and months and months, for years and years. He commits to Ohio State a long time ago. He's been steady in his commitment. I think he took a couple of more trips to Oregon, but a lot of kids take trips when they're already committed, and part of it's just, hey, it's a free trip somewhere. Why the hell would I not want to go? But according to the intel yesterday, Hartline takes a South Florida job, and nobody at Ohio State called him to tell him. And he found out via Twitter through his family.
That's
the reporting. And that's
do you
why,
believe that, though, that program, the way they recruit, would not be on top of like, hey, he's leaving. We're just getting ahead of him telling you now. I'm not saying it's not true. It's just they're
so
that's, good at what they do there. I would imagine that wouldn't happen.
I would ask then, and maybe the recruiting philosophies via staff is different. And Oregon's wide receiver coach is not left, but their offensive coordinator is currently in Lexington, Kentucky, getting introduced as the new head coach.
Yes.
So it's not like Oregon's not losing assistant coaches who have been a part of this recruiting process.
His relationship is with Lanning, not Stein.
And I think, well, look, Oregon has always had that philosophy of it's a whole staff recruitment angle. You've also heard a little murmurs behind the scenes that both of their coordinator hires might be promoted from within. Mm-hmm. Drew Mehringer was brought up yesterday. For those who don't know who that is, he was one of the first hires at Lanning made. He's been their tight end coach for the last 4 years. They've had great tight end play, and he has had experience calling plays, and so he's the guy that might get promoted. So maybe that's an angle that's intriguing to Henry, that he already knows the guy who will be it, and Ohio State doesn't quite know that yet. And again, Mehringer hasn't even been hired yet.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to connect dots of why all of a sudden, other than that, would this become a tough decision for him? Because he's been committed to Ohio State for a very long time. And let's not sit here and act like this is a random place where he's going. It's the premier wide receiver university in the country.
Yep.
They put NFL wide receivers in as first round picks every year. They currently have the best wide receiver in college football in Jeremiah Smith.
Might have the best one in the NFL right now.
Probably.
Smith and Jigba.
They might have the three best ones in the NFL right now, for all I know. Like, these guys are loaded, right? So that was the intel and reporting. I tend to have the same opinion of you of why would Ryan Day be that stupid not to call him and let him know? But
remember the Jeremiah Smith press conference?
Yeah, he almost fainted because Jeremiah Smith nearly flipped at the last second.
Again, I don't want to discredit anybody reporting stuff. Maybe that's true. When I watch a guy almost faint about locking up a five-star receiver, I tend to want to lean that guy is button-upped on recruiting, that he knows he's losing heartline to USF. He thought he was losing heartline to Kentucky, potentially, and that they did reach out. Again, I don't know how much of this is true. There's so much that gets floated out about this stuff.
Yeah.
But Oregon,
this is a big one, dude. This is a big one.
Yeah. I mean, DeCorian Moore has been openly recruiting him for the last, 48 hours, and probably longer than that, but publicly really going after him.
And you would have a chance in back-to-back classes to sign the number one wide receiver in the country. That's Oregon is not a place that has been wide receiver. They've had good receivers.
You have two seasons with both of them, by the way. Moore and him. And if he hits the way that he's, touted and scouted.
Yes.
My God, talk about having an Ohio State situation.
You would have two of the best wide receivers in college football next year, and that's never been a position of strength, really, until Lanning came around. And I don't want to take anything away from the DJ Davises or Jeff Mails of the world, but this is a different era of Oregon wide receivers.
I think we know that.
Right? And they've, we joked earlier on the pregame show at the beginning of the year that Jeremiah McClellan, if he was on one of those 2009 teams, he's number 5 on the depth chart here. He would have been their best wide receiver back in the day.
Yes.
That's how deep they are at that position. So it shows a change in the recruiting and the ability to go get guys. But this Oregon's got three guys, I think, left that haven't signed. One of them is their five-star tight end, Kendra Harrison. He's going to sign today. He just had his thing was today instead of yesterday. There is one of their elite wide receivers, Jalen Lotto, who is not signed yet. And so there's some speculation out there. Is he waiting to see what happens with Chris Henry?
Isn't that the guy Nemec mentioned yesterday?
Yes, everybody loves him. He's really a Dallas kid. Now, he had his ceremony yesterday, but I don't believe he sent in his paperwork. So maybe he's in a similar spot that if Henry signs, he flips somewhere else. Maybe they get them both. You had this last year, Dallas Wilson, who ended up going to Florida initially signed with Oregon, and they were two of the top three receivers in the country, DeCorian Moore and Dallas Wilson. And then after he signed, he asked for a release, and he ended up going home and staying in Florida. And so all of this stuff is very fluid. But yesterday, yes, I was glued to this like a hawk, waiting to see if Chris Henry had announced anything.
You doing okay over there?
I'm doing great. If they get Chris Henry Jr., they're going to end up on some sites with the number one recruiting class in the country. That has never happened in the history of the program.
Well, I mean, how many times did they finish number two?
Not very often. Actually, I don't know if they
I don't think
have.
They've been number two.
Lanning, I feel like, keeps setting the record for their best recruiting class
they've
ever had.
Like, and then it's 4, and now it's 2. I don't think they've ever had number two recruiting
class.
It would
add a 6th 5-star. If they keep the other guys and they sign, it would add a 6th 5-star to their class.
Could you imagine, though, the cross-show conversation if he goes to USC?
Yeah, the reporting yesterday with USC was out of the running, but USC did flip a massive wide receiver yesterday. One of his teammates at Mater Dei had also been committed to Ohio State for a long time, and he flipped to USC and signed yesterday, and so that was a big last-second flip for them.
Yeah, we flipped a receiver yesterday.
You guys flipped a 4-star wide receiver from Ole Miss yesterday.
You're damn right we did. Who would want to stay at Ole Miss anymore? It's a sinking ship.
Don't know who the hell the coach is going to be. Getting the hell out of there.
Come be a Beav. How about that?
You guys had an awesome day on the recruiting trail yesterday.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
For Oregon State expectations and for where you were and the fact that the staff just got hired on when did he get hired? Wednesday, whatever it was, a week ago?
I think Friday.
To turn it around and have that level of impact immediately shows you what a competent staff can do.
I agree.
In short order.
Yeah,
now, I don't know how he's going to be X's and O's and coaching and all that, but the lifeblood of your program is acquiring talent.
And
he's off to a good start doing that.
A lot more to get into. Bill Oram at 8:30. Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew, I think we have an elimination game in the National Football League tonight.
I agree with you. I'm very excited for this one.
I am too. Get to some NFL dealings. But I wanted to shout out somebody talking about NFL. How about mixing NFL and college? I think we have a P1 that you would never guess would be a P1, especially based on my commentary of the athlete.
Oh, somebody listens to the show.
Somebody listens to the show.
That is not a fan of you or not a fan of the things you say?
Probably, yeah. Okay. A combination of those because of my opinions of said athlete.
Uh-huh.
Ben Roethlisberger yesterday after we got off the air.
You're a Big Ben guy.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you loved you some Big Ben back in the day.
Danny said he was a top 10 quarterback yesterday, about crashed my car into a wall.
And top I was 10 like, in what?
All time.
Taking girls into a bathroom and forcing himself on them? Is that what he's top 10 in? What are we doing here? Top 10 and what?
Anyways.
Steeler, maybe.
I almost crashed my car. I heard that take and I'm like, excuse me?
What are we doing?
Anyways. He heard the show.
Yeah.
He hate listens. It's like, God, I hate that speaker. I wish I could throw him in the trash can. And he could.
He definitely could. He's a big guy.
Way bigger than me.
Massive human.
That being said, he threw out yesterday, actually, Mike Tomlin would be a great fit at Penn State. And I just laugh because every second, every hour, every minute that goes by that they don't announce a new coach. BetMGM trolled them. I can't remember who they had, but they basically were like, they signed a deal with, God, who was it? It was like Blue Mountain State. Oh, it was Blue Mountain State's coach.
That's who they went out and got.
They're getting a ton of retweets. Like, I think, and I, you know, I can't speak about Penn State fans per se.
I think Penn State fan is dead inside.
It feels like the entire sport is enjoying trolling them and everything that's happened. We mentioned the crumble cookie story with James Franklin yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, every minute that goes by, they don't announce a coach. You're just like, who are they going to hire? Maybe it'll be Brohm. Maybe there is a conference championship coach that's going to just bolt in the middle of the night, and we don't see it coming the way Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma for USC. But until that is announced, I am going to enjoy the process of watching everybody get hired and every other coach saying thanks, but no thanks.
It is remarkable to think. Are you ready for something? I'm going to tell you something. You ready for this? 1 minute. Portland State has the 159th ranked recruiting class in all of college football.
Dusty told me they've got a coach.
They hired a coach? Who did they hire?
Well, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that publicly.
They don't have a coach. Just kidding.
There's a guy that wants the job.
Ah, okay.
Sorry.
159th ranked recruiting class in the country, Penn State.
Out here just ruining it.
Portland State. You know where Penn State's ranked?
Oh, no.
150th. They're only 9 spots better in the recruiting class than Portland State.
They have a total.
How is that possible?
And
there's
dare
only
I repeat,
136 FBS teams.
They are 150. God. There's only 100. There are teams.
There are 14 FCS.
West Georgia, Towson, McNeese, South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Columbia, Montana has a better recruiting class than Penn State. This is Montana State, Ball State, Akron, Sam Houston, Middle Tennessee, Eastern Washington has a better recruiting class than Penn State right now.
Oh, Eagles.
I'm not making any of this up, dude. UConn, you want me to keep
Vikings
going? Cal Poly, Louisiana
behind.
Monroe, Missouri State, UC Davis, Northern Arizona, Southern Miss, your Oregon State Beavers.
Where did we go
are,
with that yesterday?
You're up to 121st in recruiting, and Penn State is 150th. They have two commits. The funniest thing was there's a Penn State account that tweeted out the picture of their two guys that they signed. It was something like, you know, welcome to the club, or I can whatever their hashtag is. I'm like, buddy, that
I
is,
think it's we are.
We are, yeah, we are.
Hashtag we are.
There are two of us. We are too. That's all we got, man. We all know what they're going to do. Like they're going to hire Terry Smith. They've struck out on literally everybody. Brohm, as you mentioned, got an extension. He's not going anywhere.
No, boy, Brohm. So I saw a report that said, despite that, he would be the guy if they struck out on Kalani. So that's not happening.
Brohm, according to the intel, was that he signed an extension at Louisville and he's not planning on leaving.
Because Brent Keyes just also signed
a 5-year deal at Georgia Tech. Yeah. They're going to give Terry Smith the job because they got nobody else to go
There's
to.
There's no way that's what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
So they fired James Franklin
to then wait on an interim guy when you could have made him the head guy months ago and maybe he could have put together a recruiting class.
That's what Ole Miss did.
He was already on the staff. He was already recruiting the players. And now I don't know what else they do.
So you fired the guy that was there because he wasn't good enough, and you're going to hire the guy that worked under that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it fair to ask? Are they going to be like kind of Tennessee and take a huge step back? Like, you got to worry about this, dude. This could turn into a 5-year, 6-year lull.
I think Penn State is going to disappear from the public eye for 5 years. They will be an irrelevant football. But you cannot overcome this in one offseason.
They'll fire that guy, though, when they're terrible next year.
Of course they will.
If they're 6-6, they're going to fire him and then revamp.
I want you to take a quick moment to think. How many scholarship players are there on an FBS football? Like 80?
I thought there was 80 or 85.
It was 85. I don't know if it's changed.
Maybe they expanded.
I want you to take a quick thought of, one, how many guys are they going to graduate just so automatically gone?
Yeah, yeah.
Two, how many guys are going to transfer out of that roster?
You'd imagine a lot,
like they're going to, it's going to be an exodus. And again, I will repeat, they have two high school commits.
High school, too.
So let's just say on average, you're losing 40 guys off your 85, and that might even be kind. It might be more than that. You're going to have to go sign 40 plus players in the transfer
you're
portal.
You're going to have to portal the hell out of
and
your
And there's not that
year.
Level of quality in the transfer portal.
Man.
Because why would any booster give you money to go sign big name guys in the offseason when there's no hope of winning next year?
Because they don't want their team to crater. That's why the booster would give you the money.
It's going to be a disaster for a while. This is going to blow up in their face. There was no back unless there's a miracle. If there's maybe there's an angel in the outfield and Kalen DeBoer shocks us all and takes that job, and we say, oh my God, how did that happen? They are going to be irrelevant for 5 years.
You want to talk about losing the fan base? I legitimately believe that would be what would happen if Tomlin took that job.
That does nothing for me.
Nothing.
Nothing
and
at
I'll
all for
Mike
me.
Mike Tomlin, I have a lot of respect for him.
Been
but
a good NFL coach for
I've
a long time.
I've been critical of him the last couple of years because I don't think they've taken their quarterback position seriously.
Yeah.
And I don't care that you're over 500. Half the time, you're not even close to sniffing being competitor, and you're a traditional NFL blue blood.
Yep.
So a lot to get to in the next hour of the program, the third hour roll on. Bill Orme will join us. Bill Ram at 8:30 to defend his Christmas tree. Got a massive NFL game tonight. Hour 3, during Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.